Mentioned, the title of my sermonette is In Despair. And thinking about how to begin today, talking about that state of being, state of mind, I immediately dwelled upon the thought of bullying. Bullying, as we know, is a particularly terrible thing to endure. Back in my day, when I was young, being bullied was contained to encountering someone who was ready to pounce when they could see you physically. This could only happen when you happen to be in the same place at the same time. But now, in this day and age, we have the internet to exacerbate public humiliation, which is often the goal of bullying. We've all heard and read stories about kids who get bullied online for the whole world to see, and in a way that cannot easily be forgotten. Unlike the kind of bullying that involved being in the same place at the same time, now there is nowhere to hide for those who are bullied online. Of course, the physical bullying also takes place, and none of it is easy to endure. But some, in having gone through this experience as a victim, have become so distraught over their humiliation and embarrassment and fear that they felt that the only way out was to take their own lives, sadly. And these types of moments are the kinds of moments where life can seem hopeless, like there is no end in sight. And this grief that we might have to endure is something that is so difficult to bear that we don't know how it can possibly get better. Now, being in the thick of a situation when the world is either figuratively or literally against you is very overwhelming. It can shake your confidence. It can cause all manner of terror, lost sleep, and anxiety, depression, you name it. It can really spiral and have some terrible effects on people. And all of this is a reaction on top of the physical trauma that might accompany any kind of intellectual or emotional trauma and abuse. Now, hopefully, I mean, I'm talking about perhaps an extreme type of situation, and I hope that most of us, hope that you listening in, do not have to live in that kind of way. I hope also that you never have to experience it, and I hope I don't either. Yet, the fact is, we are Christians whom Satan is trying to devour. He's trying to find ways to discourage us so that we lose our faith and turn away from God. And putting us in these types of difficult situations is one way that is very effective. It doesn't take being harassed to feel overwhelmed in life, however. Perhaps even a Monday morning, when everything is coming at you, will be enough to make you overwhelmed. Perhaps it's bad traffic that causes you to be late for something important that causes you to be overwhelmed. Perhaps it's something else entirely. Whatever it is, I'm giving these like extreme examples and also very light examples, but I also want to make the point that these are very real experiences that give us a very real emotional response. Satan will strike when and where we are weak. And that's when we need to turn to God in strength, when we are in despair. We can think of examples of Job, who suffered tremendous loss in his life and whose friends leveled criticism when he needed support, rubbing salt into his wounds and his wounded spirit. We can think of Elijah, who had his life threatened when Jezebel had sent out a contingent against him to kill him. He prayed to God that that God would take his life. Those are the types of, and the Bible abounds with many more examples. We can think of many where others have been at their wits' end, not knowing where to find relief, from their genuinely terrible circumstances. So today, we'll take a very brief look at this emotional state of being overwhelmed, so we know where to look when we need a source of strength, when we have nothing from ourselves to draw upon. We'll start in Psalm 69 and read a little bit there. This is actually where I had begun my message today. I was reading through here, and I was inspired just by the language and the experience that was expressed in Psalm 69. So we'll begin in verse 1. And this is David expressing his grief, his experience. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I have come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They are mighty who would destroy me. Being my enemies wrongfully, though I have stolen nothing, I must restore it. This is the opening sequence here. And if you have ever felt vulnerable and helpless, this type of language is maybe the way you might have expressed yourself, being up to your neck, deep in the mire, stuck, overflowing in deep waters. These types of emotions can be triggered by loss, struggle, loneliness, any type of stress that encounters your life. It doesn't take our lives being threatened to feel this way. These are real emotional experiences, very human experience. In this passage, we get a sense of sheer and utter exhaustion, desperation in this description. Now, we understand that these events of David's life, they were extremely difficult for him to bear. And we have this here for us to relate to. Let's go down also in Psalm 69, continuing in verse 19. And we'll read through verse 21. Psalm 69, verse 19. You know my reproach, my shame, and my dishonor. My adversaries are all before you. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Those dark emotions that we read at the opening passage, where we have fear that is expressed by David. In this passage, we add sadness, depression, even disappointment, being brokenhearted. Again, if you have ever given something your greatest effort, poured yourself into something, truly cared about doing something, only to be met by criticism and scorn and laughter, you might have felt this way too. This passage describes what it means to be human, what it means to be vulnerable, what it means to suffer when the world, apparently, when it feels like the world is against you. The scripture prophesies also the experience of Jesus Christ, who was given vinegar to drink during his crucifixion. When considering the experience that is described here of being shamed, being surrounded by adversaries, without having anybody to pity or offer comfort, we can meditate on those grueling experiences that Jesus Christ had to endure and imagine that he too might have felt in this way. These are terrible feelings, terrible emotions, burdens to bear. The Bible is so poetic about describing this human experience, and it's useful for us as we might struggle through our own lives when we encounter difficulties. Even though these words were written thousands of years ago by people who lived through circumstances that we will likely never encounter, the emotional response that we read here is something that we definitely can relate to. Those things don't change. Jesus Christ was a human being, just like you and I. He went through the same types of difficulties and experiences that we do. He understands the depths of our struggles intimately because he experienced them too. He knows the difficulty that we experience at our toughest moments. Fortunately, when we are in despair, the Bible gives us hope. We have something that we can rely on. Turning over to Hebrews 4, we can read a little bit about Jesus Christ, who is our high priest, whom can relate to our struggle. Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus Christ knows what we go through because he went through it. And he has become our high priest. He went through this for a purpose, so that he can intervene on our behalf to offer us mercy, to give us the help when we are in time of need. He knew that we would suffer the same type of reproach and brokenheartedness that he did. He suffered and died so that we can go to him boldly and ask for help. Ask for that comfort when nobody else will offer it to us. Ask for strength when we are at our weakest. There will be a moment when we are judged by Jesus Christ. And at that moment, we will be able to fully grasp the gravity of our sins, being truly vulnerable, knowing how much grace and mercy that and the depths of it that he is offering to us. That extends throughout our life now. And when we are judged, we will truly, truly be able to be thankful, offer him the thanks that we need to. And we don't have to wait until then, of course. We are thankful day by day. We have only one source of relief. One source of relief that we can trust. And that happens to be the greatest. And it is that of Jesus Christ and what he offers to us. Hebrews 10, verses 32 through 39. Read a little bit more of encouragement. Hebrews 10, verse 32. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. This passage describes what it means to go through difficult times, to go through reproaches and tribulations. We don't stop in the middle of those experiences. We go through them. We hold fast, as it says here, to our confidence and our faith. that we will get relief, that we will have the strength from Jesus Christ and the mercy he offers us. The emotions that we read about earlier are the ones that are dark, but they are overlaid by these methods of overcoming. What is our prescription as we read here? It is to focus on what no one can take from you, what no bully can take from you, what no circumstance can throw up as an obstacle in your way, and that is to have faith. In our times of greatest difficulty, we might struggle to find relief from our circumstances. The world does have a way of being relentless. We have hope in our salvation and that God will help us out and that he will see us through those difficult times. Jesus Christ is there to offer us strength when we need it. And you know what? We don't have to wait. We always need it. Something that we can trust when we feel overwhelmed, misunderstood, or alone is that we are not alone. When we might feel hopeless, there is still hope that God will see us through our most difficult situations with the utmost genuine empathy because he knows us. In those darkest moments, it is in God whom we trust, in the promise of salvation and mercy, in that we have faith.